always knew I would have a roommate in college. What I didn't anticipate is that I would continue to live with a roommate as a working adult. Thanks for joining me. I'm Alyssa Rote, and this is Big Pond, Little Fish. Making your own way in the world may feel like you're a very small fish in a very big, confusing pond. How do you honor God and pursue your calling while navigating the waters of life in your 20s? On this podcast, we're exploring life, career, family, friends, and calling from the perspective of a young Christian fish trying to make a splash in the world's big pond. So, welcome to episode 4, Sharing a Fishbowl, Roommate Relations. More than half of 20-somethings live with family or roommates. How do you avoid a roommate horror story and instead embrace healthy, wholesome roommate relationships?
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Younger me would have thought it was kind of weird that I now live with a roommate post-college. But statistically, it isn't surprising. As of 2017, surveys show that more than half, or about 54%, of adults ages 23 to 29 live in doubled-up households with either roommates or family members. Having a roommate is a blessing. Aside from the financial benefits, it can mean having someone to come home to, someone to help with household chores, and someone who's in this with you. However, living with another person comes with its own share of difficulties. How do we prevent conflicts before they happen and resolve them when they inevitably arise? So, I've outlined some preventative strategies and some ideas for when problems occur. So first, let's talk about starting off on the right foot. Maybe you've been living with your roommate for a while already, or maybe you're looking for a roommate. The following strategies are best before you've been living with each other for a while, but they can still be implemented at any stage. So first, start out with prayer. Though it's not a binding, permanent situation like marriage, moving in with a roommate or two is a commitment. The other person is depending on you, and you will be spending a lot of time in close proximity with them. God created us as relational beings, but our broken sin nature can lead to conflict. Before and while living with anyone, we need his help. So, spending time asking God for wisdom, patience, and love, praying for your roommates, not just as they relate to you, but for their lives and selves as well, it's a good foundation for any sort of relationship. So second, I would say consider your compatibility. Before you move in with someone, consider whether you are compatible. If you went to college, most of us didn't have the luxury of choosing your roommate. But as an adult, you can consider your options. Just because someone is a friend does not mean you will work well with them as a roommate. In fact, sometimes friends turned roommates are more problematic because it's just assumed that conflict won't occur. So, rather than considering just how fun a person is or how much you like them, think about living habits. Everyone has quirks and flaws, but do they have any that you don't think you can live with? Do you have any quirks that you know will drive them crazy? And then also consider what you and they are looking for in a living situation, whether that's length of commitment or your desire for pets. More importantly, is this someone you can rely on to keep up their part of the bargain? So third, I would say get to know each other. So before you go and organize your silverware drawer, spend some time getting to know each other. By this, I don't mean asking about each other's favorite movies or best childhood memories. I mean spending some time learning about each other's living habits. Are you a morning person or a night owl? Are you an introvert or an extrovert? Do you need to use the kitchen for your love of creating elaborate dishes, or are you more likely to eat out most nights? You may need to arrange things differently depending on schedules and preferences. So that brings us to number 4 of setting boundaries and expectations. Boundaries are going to look very different living with different people. My college roommate and I were both extroverts. We always had multiple friends crammed into our tiny dorm room and chatting and eating and doing homework and even just napping. Our door was always open and people hung out in there even when we weren't home. When I later moved to an apartment, the 4 of us agreed that we would let each other know ahead of time when we were having people over, and large groups of people were approved with one another days in advance. So guests are one area where boundaries have to be established. Others include food, communal space, borrowing things, and noise levels. Beyond boundaries, what are the expectations? Who cleans what? How often? What about relational expectations? My current roommate and I like to have family dinner together and discuss our day. And when I lived in the apartment of 4, we took care of our own food and ate independently according to our schedules. So deciding on boundaries and expectations from the beginning can prevent misunderstandings later. It can also provide a way to point back to a previous agreement if one roommate is doing something that causes another one consternation. There are roommate agreements online, and some people find writing these things down to be helpful. Many are aimed more towards college students and dorms, but they can work for house or apartment living situations as well. So, once you're living with someone, certain things can help build a better relationship. So let's talk about some strategies for living together. So first thing, respecting your roommate. Respect in this case means remembering the worth of the person you're living with as a human being created in the image of God. It means listening to their concerns and treating them with dignity and considering their needs and heart as well as your own. So when interacting with your roommate, it often involves remembering what Jesus said in Luke 6:31, "Do to others as you would have them do to you," and just considering how would you feel in a situation. So second, communicating clearly and often, checking in regularly, ask questions and or permission, like, do you mind if I do this? Do you mind if I use this? Ask how they're feeling about a situation and if there's anything they want to discuss or anything you're doing that bothers them. So listen first and then bring up any concerns you might have. And if you feel like it would help, you can even schedule weekly check-ins in which each of you can bring forward your concerns. And speaking of concerns, let's go to number 3 of picking your battles. Every person will inevitably have quirks that bother you. However, addressing every single one will drive you both to distraction. So you can address the things that really cause problems and learn to have grace for things that might annoy you but aren't actually that big of a deal. But on the other hand, don't be afraid to make your requests known. Letting things simmer will only lead to greater problems down the road. And fourth, you can focus on being the best roommate you can be. So instead of nitpicking your roommate, you can remember we're called to love one another. So just considering how can you be a blessing? And it makes me think of John 13:34 of love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And that leads us into dealing with conflict, because despite your best efforts, not every situation can be covered. Conflict will arise, and when it does, here are some strategies to deal with it. So first, I probably sound like a broken record, but communication. Communicate with God, ask for His wisdom and guidance, then communicate with your roommate. This does not include passive-aggressive notes or quiet retaliation. It means sitting down and having a respectful conversation. So when you're doing that, that's number 2 of avoid inflammatory language. So sometimes people are afraid that having a conversation will make things worse, and it can, if approached in the wrong way. Conversations should be calm. If you need time to plan what you'll say, or you need to cool down first, it's okay to take that time. It's even okay to tell your roommate that you're upset, but you need some time to cool down before discussing the situation. And then when you do talk, avoid generalizations. You always or you never statements are sure to cause argument and offense, so instead it's good to be precise. The past few weeks, you've forgotten a few times to take out the trash on your day. Or sometimes you have people over without asking me and it bothers me. So you can also avoid accusations. Use I feel statements that explain your experience. For example, you aren't considerate of my sleep schedule is an accusation that will make the other people feel attacked and send them into defensive mode. But if you say, I've been having trouble sleeping, would you mind keeping the noise level down after midnight? It puts the focus on your needs instead of attacking the other person, so they don't feel defensive, and otherwise it's more of a favor to you of caring for someone else. So, 3, when you're addressing conflict, think of specific steps toward change instead of just complaining. So, in the example above, the person who needs more sleep asked for something specific, noise levels to be kept down after midnight. So, the two people here would probably also need to discuss what that looks like. Does it mean no guests after midnight, or just no loud music or large gatherings? Or maybe the other person runs the blender or coffee grinder at 1 in the morning, and that activity needs to be moved to a different time. You think that sounds silly, but it has happened. Or, instead of, the apartment is too messy, discuss specific steps toward change. What tasks will each of you complete, and how often? And then, 4, compromise. You might think the floors need to be swept twice a week. Your roommate may think once every 2 weeks is plenty. Compromise with once a week. Relationships involve give and take, and you can come to a solution that both of you can agree on, and be considerate about not demanding too much. Also, 5, talk to each other rather than gossiping. It's easy to complain to your friends about your roommate, but it doesn't solve anything. It can be helpful to talk to 1 or 2 trusted people about how to approach a problem with your roommate, but the ultimate goal should be to figure out the problem together. And 6, owning up to your mistakes. You can make it clear to your roommate that they can approach you with issues. When they do, listen to them, and if you've made a mistake, apologize. Then ask for steps you can take to make the situation better. So sometimes you may disagree with their concerns. You can try to see it from their perspective as well, though. Why does it bother them? Is there a way you can resolve the situation that's satisfactory to you both? And so that kind of leads to 7 of when necessary, ask for a mediator. If you've taken the steps to ensure compatibility, make a roommate agreement, and keep communication open, hopefully it won't ever get to this point. But sometimes conflicts can't be resolved one-on-one. In college, an RA or a hall director might mediate. In the wider world, a pastor or a trusted mentor may be agreed upon. It's important that both of you agree to a candidate so that one person doesn't feel like the other is ganging up on them. And what if that doesn't work? That leads us to 8 of looking for ways to part peaceably. So maybe you weren't able to choose your roommate, maybe they surprised you, but at a certain point you may realize that you simply cannot live with a person any longer. So I just want to note that if your roommate is acting illegally, that's beyond the scope of this podcast. This applies specifically to personal conflict. If there are problems that can't be resolved, even with mediation, explain that you can't live together anymore. Discuss who's leaving and who is staying, if anyone. If you're leaving the place, give them a reasonable amount of time to find a new roommate. Or if you're staying, give them a reasonable amount of time to find a new place before making them leave. These contingencies can be decided upon in your roommate agreement, so that if the time comes, you have a plan in place. Hopefully that will never happen to you, but if it does, it's helpful to plan for it in the roommate agreement, and it's important to be civil about the parting with clear and open lines of communication, even if this involves a mediator. So, in Genesis 2:18, God said it is not good for man to be alone. Friends, family, spouses, roommates, other people are a gift from God. having a roommate can be a fantastic experience. With God's help, plenty of communication, and dedication to one another, it is possible to develop a God-honoring and even enjoyable and edifying roommate relationship. Thank you for joining me again, and I hope you'll tune in for Episode 5, Swimming in Sync, Godly Friendships. And if you want to connect with me, check out alyssawrote.com, alyssawrote.com, or check me out on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, at alyssawrote, alyssawrote. I look forward to hearing from you.
Big Pond, Little Fish is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a minute and leave us a rating and review in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find the show. You can find all of our episodes of Big Pond, Little Fish by visiting lifeaudio.com. This episode was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders. Special thanks to Stephen McGarvey for his executive oversight. You can find more faith-affirming podcasts like this one by visiting lifeaudio.com.
This is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Ministry podcast. Learn how to share and defend your faith by listening to us weekly. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.